I'm Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
I'm here.
And we're joined by Frankly Scarlett.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Reuniting on the podcast for the first time since the Wonder Woman episode. And I think the first full strength both podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Full strength. We have a full, look at this, the four words here and the defenseman here.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And Tonya Harding really is the second
skating.
Wonder Woman, really.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
2017.
I mean, what about Belle or Ray or Lady Bird or Sally Hawkins in The Shape of Water?
No.
Or other strong female characters?
They can, what's be, up with, they can be on the list.
What's up with all these lady movies? Jeez.
Oh, oh. I'm loving it.
Other comments about lady movies.
We
lore.
Was that a late 90s McDonald's reference, Robin?
I'm pretty sure they're still using
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
They're still loving it.
I, Tonya, and fast food talk, maybe, this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
Right. Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Make sure that you subscribe to it. Give them a rating and a review. If you like the episode, just share it. It like takes a second to click that button. And then you can catch me on Add It Up with your best friend, Addie, where I interview musicians and comics, just anybody I find entertaining, sometimes including Sean and Aaron. And we tackle a different topic every episode. So come and laugh along with us.
That
what was that, Abby?
Yeah, please.
Can't handle the truth.
Very well done.
Perfect.
That is the best Addie Twigg impersonation I've heard all day. And it is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, January 5th, 2018.
Oh.
Look at that.
Gotcha.
I didn't get to the end of the word, which counts.
For what?
For consciousness of the world around me.
Oh, good.
If anyone is unaware of Frankly Scarlett, shame on them.
Uh-huh.
But introduce yourselves, and one or all of you explain what a Frankly Scarlett is.
I'll start. We, Frankly Scarlett, are an all-female comedy troupe here in Pittsburgh. We do sketch. We do improv. We are best friends. And individually, we are Robin Hitchcock. That's me.
Liz Labaz,
Abby Feuder. And we perform often at Arcade Comedy Theater,
yeah.
Of which I, Abby, am one of the founding creative directors. And Liz and Robin work here very often. And yeah, you can see us. We have an All Made Up, which is our
improv show.
I was going to say our makeup show. It's our
it is.
Improv show, but All Made Up is like a pun on makeup, mm-hmm. which we love. And that's January 20th at 10 p.m.
here at Arcade Comedy Theater.
Was I allowed to plug that early?
Bingo.
Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Plug whenever you want.
Why not?
We're doing one of those front plugs so people don't just turn it off.
Exactly.
What do you got going on?
Nothing.
Hey, don't you have a giant stand-up special taping?
Oh, I thought you meant like this week. I mean, we've talked about it. Yeah, March 3rd, I'm taping a one-hour special in Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Library Music Hall of Homestead.
I will be there as well.
That's right. And Jason Clark and Sean Collier will be opening that show.
And my dad bought tickets
already.
For me
and
my mom and me and Mike. Mike's in the room. Mike Rubino, my husband.
I can't wait to kiss them on their faces.
Yeah, because it's important to buy tickets in advance to lower the blood pressure of the performers involved in a show.
Please and thank you.
I mean, the most important thing is showing up, but if you want us to be calm leading
to
up to it,
and then
buy tickets in advance.
You don't mind if they don't show up.
Yes, correct.
Okay, that's great.
It would be better to be there
and
laugh.
Now we keep telling people, do not neglect the 10 p.m. show.
There
are two shows, 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Do not neglect the 10
p.m. Was there always going to be two shows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's how you film a comedy special.
Which one is going to be on the film?
You pick one.
You edit around, and then like you do a joke, and then you
pick which one is better.
Oh, okay.
And you really only use the other one for coverage if you need it. If someone coughs or something like that, if you need to change to a different shot that like might something went wrong.
But generally, it's just one.
But generally, yeah. You just pick which one you thought was more fun.
So I think your dad has to buy tickets for both shows now.
Yes. Yeah, I guess
exactly. You guys want to be on film.
We want to be on film.
Yeah, it's on film. We're shooting 70 mil.
for a few glorious months every year, the halls of power in Hollywood pay attention to me. And it is because I vote for the Critics' Choice Awards, which are airing this coming Thursday, January 11th.
By the way, I want to say that Sean is only one of a couple hundred people.
It's about 300 voters.
For this award show on national television, so call it your boy,
Sean.
So your
votes are in now, Sean? They've already been
No, my
sent
final
away?
Votes will be sent this weekend.
Oh.
After I see the last nominated movie I haven't yet seen.
So Matt Damon, like, call in and... I mean, apologize.
Yeah.
Apologize.
Got some problems with you, Matt.
We have some words for you.
That's why Dunkirk sent me a massive paperweight today, and I got a nice email from Coco, and it's voting week. But you should watch on the CW. We're on the CW this year, guys. Hosted by Olivia Munn, who Aaron knows personally.
Okay, well.
At one point.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. And Thursday, January 11th. It is the best non-Oscar award show because the Golden Globes, Robin.
The Golden Globes are total nonsense. If you thought it was silly that only 300 people vote on the Critics' Choice Awards, well, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is roughly 90 people and they're foreigners.
They're not, though. That's the thing.
They're not?
I don't even think they're foreigners.
I just want everyone to know that Robin did the thing where she pretended to whisper by holding up her hand when she said, they're foreigners, and then said it loud.
I'm pretty sure they're well-connected freelance writers who have relationships with foreign publications.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. They're really into celebrity and not so much into what is the best movie.
Right.
They refused to watch Girls Trip.
What?
Yeah.
Hmm. That is a travesty.
Yeah.
I vote for the SAG Awards, and I'm one of, like, what, 28,000?
Many, many, many voters.
128,000?
The SAG Awards are great. It's just, you're just voting for acting.
I still get screeners, so boom.
Yeah, Critics' Choice Awards. We have categories for everything, guys, movies and TV. And
are Critics' Choice Awards a good predictor of Oscars?
Yes.
More so than maybe Golden Globes?
More so than Golden Globes.
The thing about Golden Globes is that they're
more
good.
So than SAG Awards?
No, SAG have been a little bit better recently.
So okay. Golden Globes, the ceremony is right before nomination ballots are due for the Academy. Mm-hmm. So people will notice performances if they have a surprise win. And it can influence who's the nominees.
Just by timing.
More so than the winners.
It is. I mean, the Critics' Choice thing is usually the Critics' Choice winner wins Best Picture. And usually anything in the nominees will have been a Critics' Choice nominee because we kind of have an absurd number of nominees most of the time. But, hey, it's a televised awards show. Those are fun. And this
Love
one's
those.
Loose and different because, you know, everyone's just kind of...
What do you do for them, Sean? Do you watch at home? Do you...
I watch at home only because I have never decided to bite the bullet and go. Like, I could go anytime.
Also, why don't you have, like, a party and, like, have everybody come and...
Sean, don't you live tweet?
I do live tweet.
Sean does live tweet during the...
I will admit that I missed...
Why don't you live talk to humans in your house?
You
Why don't you go? Get on a plane, dude.
Yeah.
She said challenge.
I mean, look, I got to get a plane ticket, a hotel. I got to rent a tux.
Oh, those aren't included.
I will take your ticket.
I just am allowed to be there.
But I have your ticket? I'll take it.
I know.
I'll go.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Sean Collier.
She does have the gray hair.
I've grown my hair long again.
And here's my legitimate question. If you're me and you're telling me to go to this,
Wait, hold on a second.
Okay. I assume I'm going alone.
I need everyone to know that Abby is doing a weird shoulder shuffle to be Sean.
Are you
I got man shoulders.
Are you the genie from Pee-wee? What are you doing?
Yeah, you're like acting like you're a jacket hung on a on a mannequin.
A boy jacket.
Oh, she's supposed to be me.
Yes.
She's signifying shoulders?
Yes.
Or like that's your barrel
chest?
Okay,
why don't you immediately transform into me?
Oh, boy.
Oh.
No, that's too problematic.
Good call. Yeah. Good call, man.
I know better.
Okay, so imagine
the question
for you.
Is this. So assume I go alone, right? So I'm either going to awkwardly make small talk for with other critics for 4 hours or go like, oh, man, should I just go and say hi to Saoirse Ronan? Should I just be like, hey, you're a good actress.
Yes.
Saoirse, have a nice day.
I'm
like, what do
you
I do?
Didn't, you've never went. You go to what, Royal Rumble every year? Like,
that's,
no
that's
problem.
Oh, yes.
That's an excellent point.
Like, by yourself.
The
like,
money I could be spending on going yes. to the Critics' Choice
yeah,
Awards I spend on.
Who do you talk to at the Royal Rumble?
Nobody. That's a good point. I enjoy not talking to people
that's
at places.
That's his mancation.
That's my true. Mancation.
That's his, like, meditation. That's his, like, walkabout journey.
No, it is. That's where I, like, decompress every year.
He decompresses.
Year.
He thinks about his life for the last year and...
No, what you
sees
would do,
himself
Sean,
by himself
is
at Royal Rumble.
Like, yeah. live tweet it, live video
sure.
it, and let the Pittsburgh community share the experience.
Share
and know that you're a legit critic, Sean.
Yeah.
Thank
you. You need to believe in yourself.
Oh,
walk up
great.
To Armie Hammer and be like, can you really quick say this is Armie Hammer and you're listening to You Can't Handle the Truth?
Exactly.
Wait a second. Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa. Right?
Is that Gauche?
Walk up to Saoirse and be like, can you be like, welcome, Frankly Scarlet, to the stage.
Never mind. I don't even care about Itania anymore. I just want Abby's polite Irish lass accent for the rest of the night.
Coming up is Itania Harding, who fell upon some bad times.
That's...
She's not a... She's
fellow arcade director Jethro Nolan just walked through the room, shook his head, and left.
I mean, without
spreading
context...
Spreading his dick where he can.
What? It's, It's just
oh,
Abby...
Like, wait, I'm sorry. Please repeat that. No, thank you. I was going to say, please don't. I meant, like, he can walk wherever he wants, but that came out very...
He doesn't deserve that either.
You have no control over yourself when you've gone Irish. Exactly. I gotta reel it back.
It's like everybody else on St. Patty's Day.
Yeah. Well.
What movie are we talking about?
The point is, watch the Critics'
is it starring
Choice Awards.
Liam Neeson? Where are we?
Oh, we might do that one next week. Yeah. We're talking about it. The Commuter. It's his third kind of vehicle that he tried to save.
I'm an old father.
Yeah. Watch the Critics' Choice Awards on the CW, the network of... Hey, somebody tell me a show that's
Jane the Virgin.
Jane the Virgin.
Riverdale?
Riverdale.
That sounds
yes,
right.
Yeah. Absolutely Riverdale.
Oh, yeah, Riverdale.
Coming up this Thursday. I'll go 1 year and I'll do a podcast in pieces throughout the night. Like I'll just pull my phone aside. Okay, Darren Aronofsky just got extra shrimp. He wanted extra shrimp everybody. Okay, I'll be back. That's what I'll do.
Also, is it always this time of year?
Yes.
So you could also leave Pittsburgh and go to
yes.
LA?
Well, yeah, that was the thing
yep.
about the nice thing about the last years at the Royal Rumble was when 2 years ago it was in Orlando and last year it was in San Antonio and it was a nice January getaway.
Yeah.
And now this year I'm going to Philly, guys. It's going to be great.
That sounds fun.
I'm going to try two different cheesesteaks. Anyway, let's talk.
You should try more than that.
I'm going to be there for 2 days and I figure that, you know. Anyway, Itania, yeah. Everybody.
It's only released New York and L.A. right now.
Yeah, it'll
so
be
if you haven't seen it yet, minor spoiler alert, if you want to wait on this one.
I mean, if you were alive in the 90s, yeah. We really can't spoil this for you.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm just saying, it's
yeah.
just, if the film is worth seeing.
Right.
We're going to talk about that. So,
yeah.
You know, just in case you don't want it to, you know, spoil what they bring,
yeah.
you know, in the film.
Sure.
Experience.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's one of my New Year's resolutions for 2018. Get people to calm down about spoilers. I don't think I'm going to win this one, but I'm going to start being like, I think it's time to stop worrying.
Yeah, I just saw a tweet, I think, or somebody said that, I might have been a friend of mine, I can't remember who said this, but something about how, like, spoiler alerts have killed discussion of film and television.
Yeah, and, well,
really?
And they...
How so?
Because people
it was
don't
a tweet, so that's all I got.
Oh.
But I mean, so we can discuss that.
They have more
mean,
characters now.
Yeah,
explain.
That's true. I don't know. Just that it feels that open discussion of films and stuff like it used to be. It seems like spoiling is the greatest sin of all.
Yeah, and I've had people come up to me, and including my mom. She doesn't listen to the podcast, so it's okay. And say, I don't read reviews, including yours,
yeah.
because I want to go in completely blind. I don't want to know anything yeah. about it. And it's that I don't know. I think it gets this like fetishization we have of plot. You know, like it's
God forbid we care about ruining the plot anymore.
What do you mean?
Well, why? Yeah, I don't want to know.
Why?
Like maybe it goes in it because I don't.
I'll admit there are
I don't
some
know
great
the
story. There
are
some great surprises.
Especially if it's original story.
Sure, there are some great surprises, but for the most part, like the things that happen in the story to me, and we've talked about this a little bit recently, mm-hmm. that's not the important thing about a movie.
Yeah.
I also think that people have to get a little bit around caring so much about being spoiled because audiences are so much more literate now
yeah.
that it's almost impossible not to be spoiled or not to guess.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I can't think of a movie that had a twist that I wasn't able to guess. And it's not because I'm a genius. It's because I've seen a lot of movies.
Right.
And so it's way harder to trick people than it is than it was 20 years ago.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, twists that were huge now, if you watched Sixth Sense for the first time ever.
Oh, with social media? Forget
but,
it.
Like, yeah. not knowing anything.
Right.
You could be totally blank. But having been film viewers, you would predict the ending, knowing nothing about it now, because mm-hmm. you are more literate film watchers than you were mm-hmm. when that movie came out.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think you're being generous. I'm very bad at predicting things. I also don't like being spoiled, but I control my consumption of criticism appropriately.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I would not listen to this podcast if I hadn't seen
that
the film
yet.
That
is my answer perfectly. That's, yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Mm. I sometimes,
that's why I'm just warning people, you know. Just
yeah, sure.
Case, you know.
I sometimes enjoy a film going into it with some extra knowledge based on what other people have said as a
right.
counterpoint. Watch it again. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we're talking spoilers, I mean, when you say like the plot and stuff, I mean, reading a review
yeah.
usually doesn't spoil the film.
Right. There are some people who will
yeah.
say, but you talked about the fact that the ending is bad. That spoils that. No, it doesn't.
No.
It really doesn't.
You know what, though? If I read something that said the ending was bad, I'd be like, do I really want to see this? And it would definitely sway me, which is why the reviews
exist.
Why
I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust the critic,
exactly,
everybody.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
I really want to talk
about a real film
after 17
oh,
minutes.
What are we doing?
All right. I, Tonya, everybody. I'll give it to
numbers around the table, and let's talk about something else. Here we
yeah.
go.
No, I'll give it to Frankly Scarlet first because you guys saw it the most recently.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited when we were like, Sean was like, we got to do this as a podcast. And then after I watched it, I'm like, dude, this is like, this is good.
It was
I really want to talk.
Amazing.
Was it in your top 10?
It's a great movie.
If you want to listen to last week's episode,
right.
it's our top 10 of 2017, and it is in my top 10
yeah.
of 2017.
Great.
Yeah.
yeah.
So listen
to
that episode.
You guys start with numbers, 1 to 10?
No, I'm kidding. I was kidding.
Oh.
Okay. We'll do that at the end. We'll rate. We'll get
yeah.
numbers.
Mm-hmm. Please.
So I was hugely invested in this story mm-hmm. when I was a kid.
Mm. Yeah.
So was I.
Me too. And
we are exactly the right age, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We are in our early 30s, and so this was an iconic thing and one of the first big iconic things that we experienced.
I've always been a huge figure skating fan. Yeah. I don't
mm-hmm.
know about you two.
Yeah, this
I
was right before OJ. This is
right, which yeah. they use brilliantly in the
yeah.
movie.
Yes.
I did not care about figure skating at all, and this made me care.
Mm-hmm. I did. I was also maybe not as big of a fan as Abby, but I mm-hmm. was a fairly big fan. But I think we're also at the perfect age for this movie to have like turned my understanding of the story on its head, because I absolutely was caught up in the media narrative of like Nancy Kerrigan, the princess.
Mm-hmm.
And so watching this was like, oh, wow, I'm seeing the other side.
You know what? That's fascinating you say that, because it made me think how information was spread by the news mm-hmm. and only
yeah.
the news.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize real facts mm-hmm. that you've never, ever heard in the story, no matter how many times they went over it. And you're like,
yeah.
wait, that
what?
Happened?
It also made me realize that if this happened today, the narrative would be completely different, because she would have gotten a publicist.
Yeah.
And this story that we heard 20 years later, more than 20 years later, would have been told much earlier, and the script would have been flipped way sooner.
Do you,
I also think that being a little bit more social justice conscious.
Yeah.
I mean, Nancy Kerrigan is a spoiled rich girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tonya Harding is not.
And Tonya Harding.
Is she? I don't know.
Yeah.
Her.
Oh, yeah.
She?
I mean, to do figure skating.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Rich
yeah.
hobby.
Sure, sure.
Right? It's like
Especially to be a medalist.
Right. You're from Munhall. How many friends of yours did equestrian?
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's like that.
Trust me, I know. I was the kid that lived in the projects that played ice hockey.
Right. Which
someone paid for it.
Yeah. I mean, figure skating.
Rich parents
is,
paid for it.
But figure skating is even more than that, in terms of the costumes
absolutely,
and all
yeah.
the... So, and I will also say, though, that watching this movie, I was a little bit... Like, I don't know if I experienced the same thing that I think Liz is saying of, like, this, like, seeing with new eyes, which I'm excited that a lot of people might. But I was so obsessed with this story that I've seen, like, every Oprah interview, remember there was the one, I can't remember which channel did it, but Tina Yothers,
that's right.
Was Tanya Harding. There was, like, a made-for-TV movie of it.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa, just unlocking memories,
right?
We need to watch that. I guarantee the full thing's on YouTube.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And
but it was all of these stories, I will say that I think that whether it's fans or just interested parties did some research and was like, wait a minute. This, Tanya Harding was very misunderstood and was very much the victim of an abusive husband who...
And an abusive mother.
And an abusive mother.
Yeah.
But the abusive husband and his male idiot friend completely screwed her career over. And she became the fall guy.
I bet if you asked a lot of people, they would say she did it herself.
Exactly. Well,
that's right, in the movie
when they say that some people remember it and they have a scene where...
And
they
do mention like how people hear the story differently, and it was like I've heard all these versions.
Yeah,
like, you've heard people like you remember when Tanya Harding shot Nancy Kerrigan.
Right.
Like, what?
Right. So I've heard all this. I knew this version basically, but this is so much better done than I could have ever imagined. You can feel the care that Margot Robbie has in this project, and I've seen some of her interviews on it. But it really. It shows, and I wish every film could be, the star had like such loving hands on it,
It's such a neat thing because you always see these movies about real history or real events that are always, the post coming out, things that are historical or political, but this is actually a long ago enough where it's like this really cool historical film.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is like, wow, they'd like to know the real thing, you know?
And it's such a crazy, a lot of times they talk about, who's that guy?
Bobby Cannavale.
Yes.
Yeah.
How he was like,
who did he play? He's just randomly
That was a huge, that was maybe my only real criticism is his character is very mishandled. I think he's a,
who is he?
I think he is playing like a media.
He's a producer on Hard Copy.
Yeah.
So is he sort of the embodiment of the media?
I think that is the role he is playing. And I suspect he is playing a real person in the way that almost everyone who had sort of direct to the camera interviews in this movie was. But like halfway through the movie, I was thinking like, did I miss the introduction of him? Because everyone else who speaks to the camera in this movie, which, I guess, spoiler, is a major part of this movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you can get around talking about
that's
that.
That's in the trailer.
That's fine.
Everyone else then plays a role in the plot, and he doesn't.
No. No, I thought that there was something missing. Like, they cut a scene from him, because I was like, he's already too boring. I bet you they cut more boring from him.
He's a little bit of an exposition machine.
Yeah, he's a little bit of like,
and we want to fill in this. So.
It's like when on a Hot Wheels track, when the car hits that little speed burst, and it's like, and it keeps going. Maybe that's what he was doing.
But I agree
that
the media...
did not have that Hot Wheels set.
I agree that the media was such a character
right.
that I liked him being there, but I agree, why didn't we see him in front of their house?
Or have other media people chime in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
What did Connie Chung think?
She did make an appearance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, talk especially about, not to go back, but Margot Robbie, man. I mean,
brilliant.
It's
tour de force.
Love
tour de force performance.
Hey, nice film critic.
Yes.
That's
really?
What
posters say. No. And
that's what posters say.
Made
in quotes with three stars underneath.
I'm going to see if it's on this screener copy somewhere.
Oh, wait.
There's sensational.
It says tour de force.
Performance is gold. Dark, twisted, and hilarious. Sharp, snarling, pitch perfect. No, not tour de force. All right. Original. Original touch.
Okay, great.
No, I...
But Abby's right. It was a,
absolutely.
It was a tour de force.
The amazing thing about it to me was this... Something about outsized media characters, like especially from people who were always on TV when we were 8 to 14 years
right.
old. For some reason, I feel this way about Carson Daly. Occasionally, I think about Carson Daly and I go, you know, he's an actual human being. And it'll confuse me for a minute. And that's because, like, he was just a face on the box when I was 10. Like, that's, you know. And Tonya Harding is such a... you know, creature of myth, modern, you know.
It is almost like Tonya Harding is a movie character.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so, and the media makes these people these, like, reality kind of movie characters.
So to take that figure and take it so far into, like, I feel like this is a person I was friends with. Like, I feel like the Margot Robbie as Tonya Harding is so believable as, like, yeah, I've known people like that. I know exactly how that happens.
Oh, I know a girl like that.
Yeah.
She'd beat your ass.
Right.
Yeah. And it, like, would you call my brother?
I mean, it's not only, like, pulling humanity out of the character. It's pulling humanity out of a character that, for all of us, has kind of lost all of that character's humanity in our consciousness. And that's really, really impressive. Mm. Just like this vision of, you know, just like her, you know, smoking outside of a bar, you know, yelling at somebody
or
while a foreigner plays in the
background. Smoking in the hallway at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And people staring at her and her just face.
What?
Like, not just not even saying anything. Mm-hmm. Just throwing eyes at him. They're like, yeah, no, no, it's cool. It's cool.
Her
yeah,
whole
we're not
personality
gonna say
is saying what confrontationally.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Say something. Say something.
Go ahead, Liz.
Oh, no, I did not have a thing. I just had a distraction happen in real life.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. There it was.
Thank you, Jethro Nolan. Yes.
The rest of the cast,
founding
it's
creator,
fine. He's important. He
is.
Has places to
good guy.
Be.
I thought you were saying the rest of the cast is fine, and I was
oh,
going
no, no, no,
to
no.
object
the rest of the cast
yeah,
is phenomenal.
Let's run through that.
Well, you talked about last
Bucky
week.
Bucky Barnes.
that's right. Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier.
Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to butt in here. Sebastian Stan is from The Covenant, which is the boy version of The Craft. That is his original
not aware.
His origin story.
I don't acknowledge.
I also have not seen.
Not aware?
I'm not aware.
I
was not aware that there was a movie called The Covenant that was a boy version of The Craft. No. That is news to me sitting at this table.
Sean.
All right. Sounds like Sean's coming over to Frankly Scarlett's house.
Yeah. We're going to do a rewind episode if you can't handle the truth.
You can double feature it with The Craft because I have not seen
that.
The Craft.
Is there any way you could sneak a vote in for the Critics' Choice
You haven't
award?
Seen The Craft?
I haven't seen The Craft.
What? You haven't seen any movie made before 2000.
That's right. Robin's the one who got used to this fact.
The next time that we have a retro episode, it's going to be a Covenant Craft double feature with Frank
goodness.
And Scarlett.
Yes.
That's what it's going to be.
Let's watch it in there right now
after
this
We
podcast.
Have to go, audience.
Put down
we have to go watch The Craft.
Okay, so
but
in
anyway,
the middle,
he was really good, and for a Marvel star, for a chiseled jaw Marvel star to transform into this skeezy, lumpy, dumpy sweater man,
you will be even more impressed that he escaped from the Covenant.
Okay, sure.
I don't
because
think he was
terrible. In
I don't think
he's
really
movie.
Lumpy.
I don't know if
maybe
he is
he's
in the,
he's
the
quite,
present
he's
day.
He's kind
scene.
Of svelte.
Maybe the way he carries himself. I understand.
What you mean. Like he had a lumpy
very
carriage.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like chubby.
Yeah.
One thing that he pulled off so well was looking in love with her.
Yeah. Hmm.
Like he just gazes
also,
at her so smittenly.
And I occasionally felt bad for him,
which is
weird
because he's
insane.
An abusive monster.
Right.
Abusive monster. Bucky Barnes. He's just got the puppy dog eyes.
Well, yeah, like nailed down.
Let's save the best for last. We mentioned Bobby
Cannavale. He could have been a little bit skeevier, I will say.
Either
makeup
I agree
or
with
performance.
You.
Sure.
Right? Like does everyone here at this table know a Jeff Galooly type person
up,
in their life?
I grew up with stepdad.
Yes.
That was Jeff Galooly.
Yeah, like
we're in stand up. We know Galooly.
Right, like he's a He's a little too clean.
He's not.
I think
too
that
cutesy.
I think that was a conscious choice on the part of the filmmakers
to make him a little bit more
accessible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I
mean, if you demonize him, it kind of pushes all of the angst towards that one character. So that's
right.
a good point.
And I don't think that they wanted to make Tanya out to be this totally victimized
exactly.
person.
Yes. Right.
And so if they made all of the supporting cast be as monstrous as possible,
yep.
then it would have felt like it was laid on too
thick.
But
I definitely yeah. thought, and if we want to transition, the bodyguard felt completely dumb and bad.
As skis possible as
right.
skeezy.
Paul.
So I actually thought, because doesn't it say in the beginning of the movie that, or maybe it's the end, but I thought it said this film is the content is almost primarily based upon interviews between Tanya and Jeff.
Yeah.
Both of them. Isn't that what that said?
Yes. It says irony-free, totally contradictory interviews.
So did they interview them for this movie, or it was source material
from,
that existed?
From what I understood of what it said is they, I think they even used the word compiled.
Yeah.
Interviews compiled.
Oh,
so I think they were from different sources.
Okay.
And,
yes.
I mean, I can't imagine how many interviews they poured over.
Neither of them were specifically
right.
consulted for this
Which
or,
is why they say
film.
It's contradictory and ironic
right.
because
right.
they contradict themselves
right.
in
yes.
their own interviews.
In the credits, they roll some of the original interviews.
It is sensational.
And those are from what, like hard copy?
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
One of my favorite choices, because everything that happens in this movie where that strains credulity, they then show you
yes.
is yeah. real.
Yeah. I watched this with my wife, Wendy, and we just kept turning to each other, especially when you see the real footage, and they say what the character said in the movie that
I
you
know.
Thought was hysterical.
Yes.
And we just kept looking at each other going, they really said these
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
They really you said these things.
You do spend so much of this movie watching it going, I wonder if this is real. Did this
yes.
really happen?
Yeah. That's what I kept saying. This
really
happened.
Did that guy headbutt a window to get out of the, you know, when he was trapped in there? Like
according
what?
To Tanya, he did.
Right.
Or,
right.
Yeah.
Or according to Jeff.
Yep.
Yeah.
No,
then I headbutt the shit out of that window with my man forehead.
I, Tanya.
What that interview was like.
I, Tanya, and the Disaster Artist are a very nice... No, this happened double feature for the end of
right.
2017.
This is real.
Yeah. Paul Walter Hauser played, what's his name?
Oh,
Galooly's
so
Galooly's
Sean.
Bodyguard.
Galooly Light.
Yeah, Sean.
Sean N.
This is a terrible joke, but Galooly Heavy. Come on.
fair enough.
And as I pointed out, this guy gave a great performance, and his resting doof face is just so perfect every time. And he was hilarious. Like, he was... Like slapstick comedy, hilarious
yeah.
in a way that was still believable.
No, he
but in the way that we talked about, like knowing Galooly's, like
yeah.
I've known that guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And this guy Sean is passed away. Did you know that?
I didn't
did
know
not
that.
Know
yeah, he
that.
Died at 40.
Yeah.
Terrible.
How about that? That's a shame.
yeah.
I mean,
it's a shame as a human life is lost.
But what were the next 50 years going to be for him? Yeah.
But this dude, I think this dude's going to show up again. He's only
yes.
had some small parts. He's big in the in that show.
Guys, I thought we were talking about the actor.
Superstore. Superstore. Oh, yeah, he's coming back to life, guys.
Do you think we are?
Sean is going to come back. Well, as soon as we watch The Covenant, he'll probably, we could figure something out.
Yeah.
I was like, he's going to do a lot of ghost roles.
Yes.
Paul Walker, Walter Hauser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Walter.
This is a good breakup.
Not
yeah.
Paul Walker, speaking
no, no.
of those who are no longer
speaking
with us.
Speaking of people, Paul, let's bring Paul Walker back
Walter
instead of Sean, the bodyguard.
Hauser. I like to call out child actors who actually can act a little bit, so I'm obligated to mention McKenna Grace as young Tanya.
Oh, yes.
She was great.
She was really great, and she had a good year. She was in that movie Gifted, Nobody Saw, with, oddly enough, Captain America, Chris mm-hmm. Evans. She was really good in that. And saving the best for last, Allison Janney, everybody.
I'm a huge fangirl of her.
Guys, I have a really controversial opinion.
Uh-oh.
Hot take.
I don't think that was the best supporting actress thing I saw this year. I think it's clearly in the top five, but she is below Holly Hunter in The Big Sick and Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird for me.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm going to walk away slowly.
No, it's fine.
I can't share a mic with Robin anymore.
No, I'm going to determine who I voted for best supporting actress before.
No,
I
look,
chime
when
in.
When we talked last week in our top 10 of 2017 episode, check that out.
Yeah.
Laurie Metcalf is incredible.
Oh, and Tiffany Haddish, of course. But I who's that? She's in Girls Trip. And made that movie.
Okay.
So she's the Melissa McCarthy of Bridesmaids?
Yes. She's the wild card.
Yeah, the wild card.
I should admit that not only was Allison Janney not my vote, now that I look back, Allison Janney wasn't on my ballot. Because I voted for Laurie Metcalf and Lady Bird first, then Tilda Swinton and Okja, then Michelle Pfeiffer and Mother.
Nice choice. Love that last choice.
I can what?
You can't help yourself with Tilda. I know.
Well,
she's amazing.
She's amazing. and I wanted there to be more love for Okja, which did not come to pass.
I will say that Allison is incredible in this. It's a little bit of a one-note character. I mean, she's a bad guy.
That's sort of my take on this.
You know, like I imagine, I haven't seen it, but I imagine Laurie Metcalf, it's a much more subtle...
100%.
You know, mixed role as opposed to like, this is Allison Janney. Can you bring your delightful ass self and be this ridiculous, larger than life, horrible mother?
It's
and
Melissa she Leo it. Versus Amy Adams in The Fighter.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But
she was, I thought she was perfect.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, she's wonderful. Yeah. I'm just saying that I think. For Liz, for example, and I think Aaron said before we started recording, like, she better win.
I didn't say she better. She's my pick. Like, I loved her.
Which is, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that for me, it was a 9.5,
yeah,
not
sure.
a 10.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want her to get an Oscar. Like,
yeah.
Fair
I
enough.
I think she's sensational.
And I think she disappears into this role in a way that Allison Janney is particularly good at.
Very much so. That's very well put.
Well, and very fearless. To portray that kind of abuse in a way that is human and is real, but does not in any way, you know, try to apologize for this.
Yeah,
woman.
I mean, you really, you leave that like, wow, she's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But you kind of laugh at her throughout the film and you kind of like her a little bit.
She believably portrays that woman believes she was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's that the truly most selfless thing a mother can do is make your kid hate you.
Yeah.
So that they never look back.
Or do whatever you need to do to drive your kid.
Yeah.
Right. Like that she knew her kid better than anyone and that what her kid needed was for her to be that way. Which is obviously nonsense.
But then
garbage,
when she comes in with the tape that she wants to sell, that's also just I need money.
That's true. Yes. She is a garbage person in reality.
I want to talk about the direction because this is the rare like heralded awards darling, you know, brilliant movie by a really kind of a mediocre director named Craig Gillespie, who his last 10 years he did Lars and the Real Girl, which was pretty good. He did some TV. He did the awful remake of Fright Night. He did the completely unremarkable Million Dollar Arm movie. And last year he did The Finest Hours, which was okay.
You forgot. You said Lars and the Real Girl, which how did he go from his first film, Mr. Woodcock, to Lars and the Real Girl the same year?
In the same year.
Like, he couldn't wait to leave Mr. Woodcock and be like, please let me go make a real film.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't wait.
I don't know what Mr. Woodcock is.
It was like a broad Billy Bob Thornton.
He's like a gym teacher. And probably smokes cigarettes in front of kids.
Right.
And says the F word in front of children. Yeah.
Bad gym teacher.
Yeah.
Bad gym teacher.
Robin gets it. You should write films.
So I think directors
are my most confusing...
What do they do? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're trying to say?
What I mean is...
What do directors
like,
do?
Yes, maybe I'm just used to actors being all over the map with their roles, but I feel like more and more I leave a movie and I say to Mike, like, who directed that? What did they direct before? And he'll be like an episode of The Commish and then Spider-Man 3.
Well, now that's usually true.
Yeah.
I mean, most directors...
Like, they're just... Like, it's like one French film, one episode...
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely
true.
And then, like, they get one of the Marvel movies, and then they get I, Tonya. Like, I don't understand. Is there a lottery that they have to show up for?
No, there's more. Go ahead, Liz.
If you are a young white dude who reminds a more famous white dude of himself at a younger age, then you will get tapped.
Star Wars.
Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
After you've directed The Commish.
Yeah. No, it's on a lot of the blockbusters, they are pulling people out of obscurity more and more. But when it comes time for award season, that's when we talk about you know, Darren Aronofsky and Steven Spielberg. Yeah, the auteurs and Guillermo del Toro. And, like, what's the big movie from this famous guy this year? Mm-hmm. So for this to be kind of like...
What was the movie, Mike? Do you remember, like, where it was, like... They directed something really amazing, and you were like, they'd only directed, like the Dr. Dolittle series. It was, like, a series. Like,
Michael Rubino's
done,
in the room.
Like, a goofy series, and then they...
In the Mad Max Fury Road, aside from him directing yes. Mad Max, he did the Penguins.
Happy Feet.
Happy Feet.
Yes. Okay,
and
thank
Babe Pig in the City.
That's what it was. Thank you, Babe. Love you.
Yes, admittedly, he's got a weird career.
Right?
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like that happens more and more now when we look up directors, and I feel like it's, like, a little notably more kooky than actors.
I will even. Say, in defense of, like, Mad Max and Babe, it's a director that very relies heavily on visual style and art direction yeah. and creative
Which,
people on his team.
So it's, like, different genres
so, right,
and highly visual.
Right, but it's still the same kind of,
yeah.
you know.
Okay. I sometimes wonder if with the big blockbusters, especially with now the trend of, like, universes,
yeah.
if they're picking lesser-known directors so that there isn't as much of an established style so that they can be in the style of the universe.
Oh.
It's not like,
true.
Like you will be more easily...
You can't have David Mamet come in.
Right,
and
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's very
man,
true.
Man, do I want David Mamet to direct a Marvel movie.
Also pointing out that Abby's point of reference for currently relevant auteur director is...
Has he directed anything?
Obsolete playwright David Mamet.
Wait, I was just...
It's like, you know, the big Oscar directors like David Mamet.
That's that okay. on our way out.
Somebody with
a came up before we started
style.
Recording.
On our way out, Sean usually makes me do some movie quotes or anything. Before we leave today at the end of the podcast, I want to hear Wonder Woman by David Mamet.
In just your so. Irish voice, but we'll get to that later.
That might be too much.
Improv game.
Well, here's the thing, and it's interesting. I don't know if anyone other than me heard this charge, but the tempered praise, the like knock and simultaneous compliment to the direction of I, Tonya was, oh, it's Diet Scorsese. It's a guy doing a convincing, if slightly restrained, Scorsese impression
yeah.
behind the camera.
Okay, so. I think that it is similar to one flavor of Scorsese, and I think that that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons that he's so great, is that not all of his movies are the same, but
right.
it's the Goodfellas, Wolf of Wall Street, and but here's the thing, I freaking hated the Wolf of Wall Street, and this mm-hmm. movie pulls off everything that that movie tried to do, up to and including making someone who everyone hates a very sympathetic character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the talking to the camera, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that.
So... One criticism that I read a lot of was that it was ugly, and people were really upset about the CGI.
Well, the CGI?
This?
Like
yes.
The figure skating?
The figure
like,
skating CGI.
That's, I didn't think it was too terribly bad.
I thought it was completely fine.
Because
yeah.
we all saw Cyborg, right?
Fortunately, I could say no to that.
Oh, God bless you.
No, Injustice League.
Directed by the third director of Punky Brewster.
Yes, exactly. Care Bears the Caring movie. I'm directing Justice League.
No, I don't. I went down a rabbit hole of I, Tonya criticism
yeah.
at the other night, and people were very upset about the way the figure skating was shot. Mm. Like human people? Like people you know? No, robots. No, people
Critics.
On Twitter. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I was like, how are they going to do this? I know Margot Robbie didn't learn how to skate this well, you know?
She learned
and
a bit. Yeah.
yeah. And it was fine. I mean, also, you know, I'm not a CGI artist, but putting someone's face on somebody and a whole body doing figure skating, I mean, it doesn't seem like
also,
an easy task anyway.
Right. It's also, like you said, it's not a cyborg movie. Like, that constitutes about... 1.5%
of
the entire
it's
movie.
Not like they
yeah.
just
it's not
all
like
they,
it's a ton of
yeah,
figure
yeah.
skating.
It's not like all they had to do was erase a mustache and it still looked bad.
True.
Justice League was in Aaron's bottom five.
What, there's
the year,
nothing
everybody.
On my mouth. There's nothing on my mouth. There's I'm here
didn't
to save everybody.
What did
you say about that? It would have been better to like CGI his whole face or something.
No, I just said they should have paid Mission Impossible to take a vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I wish...
Halted the production of another film. Yeah. Yes.
You all, but not the audience, so this is a pointless conversation. Sometimes I wish I could watch movies through Mary Beth's mind, my girlfriend, because we were with her, Robin and I and Mary Beth watched Justice League, and when Superman came in, she was like gasped with surprise, and I'm like, oh my God, you're the only person on the planet who didn't expect Superman to immediately come back. I want your brain. I want your loving positive outlook on the world, where you trust things and you aren't cynical about everything you ever look at. It was the most this brings me back to spoilers, and then we'll say something relevant about I, Tonya. But like, people were mad on the internet when those stories about the mustache came out, because they were like, hey, we didn't know Superman was going to be in it. Really?
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
But we managed to not talk about it.
No, we didn't. We did not mention it on the podcast. You know, we were too busy having 80 other complaints.
If Wendy Wasserstein had directed Justice League, he never would have come back. That is also an obscure Broadway playwright. Not obscure. She's very famous.
I didn't get it.
On stage. She's a stage famous person. Which is
if
not
you're
the
one,
real famous.
If you're the one listener who got that joke, write in. Let us know. I would just say about the direction, yes, if you want to call it Diet Scorsese, that's fine. Basically, that just means that they picked a style and it worked.
Yeah.
He didn't invent talking to the camera. It's I don't know. It's like we're improvisers, and it's like when people get salty about you doing the same form as them.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there's nothing new under the sun.
Well, it's like, there's some classic rock hits and 70s hair, and that does not necessarily always signify the same thing.
I was going with the writer. I was surprised that this dude wrote a bunch of romantic comedies.
Get at.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It means he cares about women.
Yeah. Kate and Leopold, P.S. I Love You, Love the Coopers, and then I, Tonya.
Love the Coop. Which one's Love the Coopers?
That was that Christmas movie where like the nine. Oh, no, I'm sorry. His first film was Hope Floats. I went on a date to that film. Sandra Bullock and I love him.
Harry Connick
Harry
Jr.?
Harry Connick Jr.
I mean, is part of that like, you know, the story is going to tell itself. We need someone to actually get at the emotion of these people.
I think, that's a good call to get somebody that writes, you know, a romantic comedies to like, hey, piece this together into this relationship. You know, make this the thread of the film. And
or we very specifically don't want this to be just like a regurgitation of the news story.
Right, absolutely.
We want it to be
a
story.
Right.
One of my fears going into this movie was that it was going to come out really like classist. Like, did you guys see Logan Lucky?
Yeah.
So
I forgot it immediately
because
but I saw
it's not
it.
Very good.
Yeah.
But a lot of that movie to me felt like, look at this white trash, and I was concerned this movie was going to be that way, and it was not at all.
No, they were pretty sympathetic of just saying like, hey, there's people like this. Like
right.
it was not like a thing where it's just like this is her circumstance and the people in her life created this situation.
I think it made the audience question, like, do you automatically judge people for being like poorer? Like, right, did Tonya Harding get a bad rap because Nancy Kerrigan was the rich princess?
I mean, they clearly covered that. I mean, it was a lot. I mean, they wouldn't like let her win,
right?
Because
she
was poor,
and
she made her own costumes, and they literally told her. I'm guessing this is from Tonya's. Like, Tonya told us this happened, so who knows?
But I believe her.
Yeah. It's pretty believable.
Well, one of my favorite moments was when she goes to the judge in the parking garage, and he says, you refuse to play along. You know, and it brings up, because I've always loved figure skating, and it's very interesting to me that. And I think that's true of a lot of sports like that. Like, I assume equestrianism, is that the word? No. Equestrianism?
That's with horses.
Yeah, but is that the noun?
No, you just say equestrian, the sport of equestrian.
Do you?
Yeah.
Equine. Okay. Equine.
I assume that
means of or relating to horses.
It's similar where it is a little bit. I mean, that's true of like lots of sports.
Gymnastics is true.
You know, where you have to have the right attitude. You have to. But I mean, that's true. I mean, everybody. But then what the other thing that's interesting, and this is just my love of figure skating, is that that things kind of turned around in maybe like the early aughts, where suddenly it became all about the jumps. And so like that's why Tara Lipinski won the gold medal.
Right.
And, you know,
Michelle Kwan, who's like one of my favorite figure skaters, she never won gold in the Olympics. And I saw a biopic on her, and they said that, you know, she was the most graceful skater at a time when grace didn't really matter anymore. Mm. And so I think Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan are kind of the end of the era of the Dorothy Hamills and the Peggy, I forget her last name. The
none of us know.
Okay. Of just sort of figure skating used to be watch pretty girls twirl around on the ice. Yeah.
A couple things that I read
and
was
and
that
some people are like, and then someone like Tanya's like, no, I'm an athlete.
Yeah. A couple things that I read, because I was interested in that.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of impact did she actually make? Mm-hmm. And they said she changed the game mm-hmm. because she was like, no, I'm just good.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm just good. And it up from what I read is it upped the game where it's like, y'all be better.
And
like,
also
you have to be better.
Women can do this.
Yes.
Women
you know,
can
like,
do a triple axel.
Right. Because mm-hmm. up until that point, mainly men were doing that.
There is only men were doing it.
Yeah.
There is a little known movie that came out after Bring It On that was basically trying to be the Bring It On of gymnastics. And it's called Stick It.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yes, as do I. And one of the main themes of it is exactly what we're talking about, which is athleticism versus presentation.
We all have some homework to do. The Covenant, yeah. The Craft,
Stick It.
Stick It.
Well, go
and,
ahead.
And so it like gymnastics is definitely something where you see the athleticism get eclipsed by the costumes and the stupid little etiquette of
right.
it that really kind of boils down to controlling the image of the person and has nothing to do with the sport.
And that's what I really liked about in the end, the thing I like most about this movie is it's almost a Greek tragedy
mm-hmm. yep.
that's drawn out in her circumstances, where she was legitimately the best for years and held back because of her circumstances, because you're not from the world of the people who win this, you're from this lower class world. Mm-hmm. And she works to overcome that and personally does
it.
But she can't escape it.
Yeah.
So because she's married to this asshole who's friends with this moron who's stupid enough to do this shit and do it badly, her world is what kept her out of it, right. But it wasn't her role
and
in
then,
it. It was her surroundings.
She was punished for her circumstances.
Yeah.
Also, the Greek tragedy part of it is it's not just that she was poor. It also became, where's your rich parents wearing USA gear that we can cut to in the audience?
Right.
Mm. Okay, my dad left when I was a kid. My mom's abusive, and I don't keep in touch with her anymore. Okay, we need to cut to someone in the stands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then she has to call up her ex-husband. Like, that's the real
yeah.
Greek tragedy,
yeah.
is that she
that
got
was
back
that
with
was
Jeff.
Cringy. I was like, oh,
she
no.
got back with Jeff because that's what they wanted, and then he enacted the series of events that destroyed her
yep.
career.
Yeah, she's escaped.
Yeah.
That is real. Wow, that is really Greek tragedy.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that's the best part of the movie. I mean, well, everything's great about the movie, but watching this story unfold and seeing it in the light that they present it is fantastic.
But
again,
so
particularly if you lived through it.
Do you think she really wasn't involved?
In the film, they do portray her as signing off on
the death threats.
And so,
but then they do hint at they found a piece of paper with her handwriting that had a rehearsal times. And
they put that in the film.
Right. Yep. But they said, why would you need to know, why would you write down her rehearsal times if you were going to send a letter?
Yeah, where and what time? Why would you need to know
why
all
of those?
Why
would you need to know
those?
Where she right. was?
Also, the week it was supposed to happen.
Right.
At her Massachusetts facility.
I think the Occam's razor.
I mean, that's.
Like, the Occam's razor explanation to me is, at some point, I believe that Tanya did get a death threat first, whether it was from Doofus or from somebody in some other skater's camp, whatever. She gets that. She gets pissed, says, you know what? Fuck with Nancy. I don't care how. I don't want to know how.
Right. That's what I really think happened.
Yeah.
Like do something, but I don't want to know why.
She
but
didn't
don't
say,
hurt her.
But
yeah.
she's, I don't think she said don't hurt her, but she's guilty regardless.
Yeah.
Like she, if you say, go do this crime of sending this woman death threats, and then they break her knees instead, you're still guilty.
Like, do
right.
you think the film does a good job of accurately presenting that she was guilty and involved?
It forgives her a little bit, because
it does forgive her a lot more than I think she knew. I think, I mean,
I don't think she. I don't think she said, "Yeah, take her out."
I just kind of grew up with shitty people, and I'm like, "Yeah."
They don't care. It does seem hard to believe that Jeff didn't say, "Like, we're gonna do something to her knee," and she probably was like, "Ah, I don't want to hear about this." That sounds
right.
Like the truth.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't think Biggie ordered the hit on Tupac either, but maybe I'm just forgiving.
But did he know?
But going back to just this whole like how you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah,
it's like somebody on high looked down at figure skating and was like, "This is boring. Let's do this."
Yeah,
like it's just that you just would never in a million years, you know. I want something like this to happen again, but
I want some other world class athlete's life to be ruined for our amusement.
That's my final thing, though. Oh yeah, no, I don't want.
That's
her
called
life
football, Sean.
Yeah, right. every week.
The other thing I find interesting about the story is that Nancy wasn't hurt that badly, wasn't
no
she? Like,
no,
not,
it was bruised.
Yeah, that's why I said we.
Well, she. Yeah, so Sean. Sean's a little bitch. That's what I'm trying to say.
Not me, guys. The other Sean.
No. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know. He didn't do it. That goofy.
Oh yes.
The dummy.
Stan.
Shane. Yeah.
Shane.
And Derek.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Listen to all the.
Oh, but every but I was watching the movie with Robin and her husband Colin, and they laughed at me when I was like, "This okay? I hurt my knee worse in Bermuda than
right.
Nancy left. Kerrigan did." Yeah,
mm-hmm. Sorry, Abby, I didn't mean.
I was in a motor scooter accident, but what I'm saying is, ultimately, it was like just harder than that.
Yeah, it wasn't well thought out.
The fact
I mean,
that she went to the Olympics a few weeks later
and got
right.
silver.
Got silver indicates she was not very badly hurt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this wasn't, again, we saw Derek and Stan and Sean, and this was not like a good idea at any step of the way
right.
or to any end.
Well, the Bobby Cavalli line was like, remember he said something like, these are the two like biggest buffoons in a world solely comprised of buffoons.
Yes.
So.
Speaking of buffoons... Thank you for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. That felt like a transition.
You're our buffoons?
No, we're the buffoons.
Oh, yeah, we're idiots.
Me and you.
Oh, yeah, we're stupid idiots.
Although, to correct you, the line is actually, in a world full of boobs. So,
oh, it was.
Oh,
the and
biggest.
Here we are.
Your boob guest.
Yes.
We got some boobs.
We'll be buffoons, you be boobs.
Okay.
Got it.
Let's rate it. We were going to talk about other things, but then we got... What did we talk about?
Spoilers.
And
fine.
The Mancraft and the...
Mancraft.
Covenant.
Boycraft.
Boycraft.
They're boys, not
boycraft.
Men.
I see. So we, you know, life is our extra butter. That's... Ah, we should get that on t-shirts. Mm. Anyway, let's rate it and get out of here. We might have hinted at this last week. So Aaron gave it... I think we both gave it nines, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Which we mentioned last week. So let's get the ratings from Frankly Scarlet.
Nine.
You're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I'm going to go with nine, Regis.
I'm going 10.
You said
when we did Wonder Woman that you get 10 tens a year.
I only end up with four this year, but yeah, something like that.
Oh, 10 tens a year. Well, then, yeah, I'd give this a 10.
Well, and no, I would say...
I'm going to get a little 11.
I would say 5% of the movies you see in a year are tens.
So if you see 20 movies,
that's one.
I'd give this a 9.5.
All right.
I think 9.5 is fine, but I'm gonna bump it up and give it a 10.
Do it.
You know what? And I also want to retroactively raise my Wonder Woman rating because that's definitely in my top 5% this year.
Yeah.
So yeah, 10.
I think 10.
So we like it. You should see it.
You should definitely see it.
When it comes to your neck of the woods, which I guess for most people is going to be the 12th, the 19th, we determined. January 19th, coast to coast in New York and L.A. and probably... I don't know, Chicago and San Antonio, and I don't know where movies go. But see it as soon as you possibly can. And we'll be back next week either with – this is perhaps the biggest either-or in the history of the podcast. Do we do the Spielberg Award movie or the next time the Liam Neeson punching people movie? Which are we going to choose?
I mean, we know what's going to happen. Liam Neeson's going to get pissed off. Somebody took a seat on his plane. His luggage got lost, and now he's throat-punching people all the way to the
Eiffel
Tower.
But those are fun episodes to listen to you guys talk about.
I agree. Mm.
Yeah, do you want to hear me talk about Watergate for 40 minutes?
No.
Yeah.
No. And the Pentagon Papers? Because I will.
I'll be real. I'm acting like we're going to choose. If I get tickets to St. Vincent, we're going to do the post. If I don't, I can go to the screening for the Liam Neeson movie. So that's what it's going to come down to.
Okay, all right.
And to take us home, Abby's cousin, Abby O'Fudor of County Cork.
Why even try the accent?
Presents.
There's so much.
David Mamet's Wonder Woman.
Well, someone has to be in it with me.
Yeah,
okay.
You can be characters,
okay.
Too.
Okay.
I don't have to be Irish, okay. Do I?
You can be someone else.
So shit. Oh, fuck. Shit.
We're down.
Listen. Listen, you listen. Listen.
No, you listen.
No, you
fuck
listen.
You listen.
Listen. Something's wrong in this planet. And I am going to use my fucking
God
shield.
Damn it. God damn it, Diana. God damn it. Get down here. God damn it.
Mom. Fuck. Both of you just shut up for one fucking second. What do you want to be talking about?
I don't know, but I'm real bad.
You see this sword? You see this sword?
I see
this
sword.
You cannot have this sword. You cannot have this sword.
You know what? The
closers get swords.